They have three kids. Levi is 11, Liberty is 10, and Ayla is 5. And that, the children actually are not with us this morning. They currently resides at Lincoln Park Church of Christ in Michigan as a minister. He has been there for 14 years. And at this time, he is currently halfway through a master's in ministry. So without any further delay, Doug Wells.
Appreciate this opportunity to speak with you this morning. I do have a little bit of tradition I would like to share with you. I've been doing this the whole 14 years that I have been speaking. What I do is I come up and I start things off with offering you an enthusiastic good morning church. So I'm going to say that to you, and then I would like you, if you're willing, to reply equally as enthusiastically, good morning, Doug, okay? So I'm going to say good morning, church. You say good morning, Doug. We'll give it a try. Good morning, church. That's pretty good. Not bad for a first try. It's good to see you all this morning. I once again, I'm appreciative of the opportunity to speak to you. Did your mom ever read you The Runaway Bunny? Just out of curiosity, anybody get read The Runaway Bunny? No? Well, I have good news and bad news for you this morning. The good news is I'm going to read you at least most of The Runaway Bunny. The bad news is that milk and cookies typically are frowned upon in church auditoriums. So we're going to have to get through this story hour without them. But we're going to soldier on, and let me read to you this book by Margaret Wise Brown, The Runaway Bunny. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I'm running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "Well, if you run after me," said the little bunny, "I'll become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I'll become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "Well, if you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on the mountain high above you." "Well, if you become a rock on the mountain high above me," said his mother, "I will become a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are." "Well, if you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus in a hidden garden." "Well, if you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener, and I will find you." "Well, if you become a gardener and find me," said the little bunny, "I will be a bird and fly away from you." "Well, if you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I'll become a little boy and run into a house." "Well, if you become a little boy and run into a house," said his mother bunny, "I'll become your mother, and I will catch you in my arms, and I will hug you." "Shucks," said the bunny, "I may as well stay where I am and be your little bunny." And so he did. "Have a carrot," said the mother bunny. And that's the end of the story. And I have to say, that is one determined parent. I appreciate her determination. I mean, she was going to do everything in her power to make sure that she was with the child that she loves and make sure he had what he needed. And I love that the little bunny came to the conclusion, "I'm not getting away anyway, so I may as well stay where I am." I think that's a very smart and wise thing to do. This morning I want to talk to you about another determined parent. I want to talk to you about the one who is the father of us all. Psalm chapter 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." How comfortable are you in the presence of somebody who knows everything about you? And I mean everything. somebody who knows everything that you've done. How comfortable would you be in the presence of one like that? I'm actually going to be in Psalm 139 this morning, if you'd like to turn there and follow along. This is a psalm of David, and the psalm begins by saying in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. The Lord has searched me, and he knows me. Now, I've been around some perceptive people in my day, and sometimes I wonder about these people if they don't know me better than I know myself, like my wife or maybe a good friend. I wonder, well, maybe they know me better than I know me, but with God, there is nothing to wonder about. He most certainly does. He knows me completely. He has searched me, and he knows me, verse 1 says. If I look at the next few verses, if you're following along in Psalm 139, God knows when I sleep. He knows when I leave my house and when I get back. God knows my entire daily routine. God knows, in fact, what I'm about to say before I say it. He even knows what I'm about to think before I think it. God knows me really, really well. And of course, that makes sense. If you look at verse 13, verse 15, verse 16, it makes sense because it's God who made me. Verse 13 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So my very DNA was knit together by the Lord. God, who knows everything about me, he knows about all of my past. He knows about my father and my grandfather. He knows all of my ancestors all the way back to Adam, and he knows my entire future as well. He knows the day of my death and every possibility that my future holds. From the very first day of my existence, long before I was actually born, to the very last day of my life on earth, there is no escaping the piercing knowledge of God. It says in verse 5, You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. And I'm not sure this is particularly comfortable for everybody. You know, in America, we value privacy. We like our privacy. You know, when we hear about some corporation that's selling our information, or when we hear about some a government organization that is in our business, we get a little offended by that. You know, we want our own personal space. We don't want everything in our lives to come into public knowledge. And so, you know, when I was shown a little while ago how the details of my life could be bought on the internet, I was a little bit, I didn't feel that great about that. You know, for $2, you could go online and purchase a report on the details of the life of Doug Wells for $2. So I guess it's a good thing I behave mostly, you know, because you can go online and buy all of my information. So I don't know how I feel about that. You know, back up a little bit. Give me a little bit of space. You know, there are some things in my life, like, you know, where my personal address is, that I don't want everybody to know, really. But with God, it cannot be helped. He's God. He knows it all. Every last bit of my life, he knows. He hems us in, it says, behind and before. And you know, as the realization of God's all-knowing presence closes in, people react in different ways to that. Some people try to fight God. You know, as God is all around them, some fight, some yell with all their might. You know, go away, God. We don't want you in our lives. People began the shout in the 60s, and I'm sure before then, get out of my school, God. We don't want prayer in here. People are still shouting today. You know, take that cross down. Take the name of God off our money. You know, we don't want that Bible in our hotels. You know, get that out of here. Quit giving churches tax exemptions as one of the more recent ones. People are shouting. In 2013, in Times Square, the people shouted, quit reminding us of spiritual themes and holidays. They purchased this huge billboard, you know, and put it up in Times Square and said, who needs Christ during Christmas? And of course, Christ is crossed out, and the answer given is nobody. Now, I would argue, of course, that we need Christ every day, but you get the point. The point being, as Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 puts it, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. As in, God, mind your own business and get out of my life. You know, I don't want you around here. Give me my space. They try and fight. If you don't give me my space, God, I'll fight you until you leave me alone. Of course, you know, other people are a little wiser than that and know better than to pick a fight with the Almighty. So if they don't choose that option, as God's presence closes in, they choose a different one. Instead of fight, they choose flight. Now, I'm sure if we think about it for a minute, we'd realize that neither one of those two options is very good. You know, fight or flight, not great options to try and use on God. But you know, when God wants you to do something that you don't want to do, The urge to try and get God to go away and the urge to maybe, you know, try and run away from God can be very strong. You know, even Jonah, who was a prophet of God, so he should have known better, right? He's a prophet of God. Should have known better. Even Jonah had a moment when he felt like running was a good idea, as it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. You know, I'm sure in his better moments he knew better than that, but he tried it. Of course, if you know the story, you know that he didn't get very far. The thing is, it's really hard to play hide and seek with someone who is everywhere. You know, I wonder if those of you who are young people in the auditorium this morning, I wonder if you can imagine playing a game of hide and seek with me. And let's say I'm the person who's going to try and find you. Okay, so I cover my eyes, and I begin counting. One, two. Of course, what you do, you want to go find a good hiding spot, right? And so you're at my house, and you run into the closet, thinking, you know, this is going to be a great hiding spot. But the problem is that as you run into the closet, I'm already there. Three, four, you go, no, so he's there, so now I have to go find another spot. So you turn and you run into the bathroom and you open up the curtain thinking I'm going to hide in the bathtub. That's a pretty common spot in our house. And so you run into there, and as you run into the tub, I'm already there. You know, seven, eight, and go, oh, no, so now I have to find another spot. And so you turn and you think, okay, I got a great idea. I'm going to run down into the basement, and there's these storage crates down in the basement, so I'll take some storage crates, really good hiding spot. I'm going to move them and hide behind the crates, but as you grab the crate and move it, you see I'm already there, you know, 11, 12, oh no. So you turn and you cheat, all right? You're desperate now. Now, outside is out of bounds at our house for hide and seek games, but you're desperate. And so you turn and you run out the door and you think, you know what, I'm going to climb a tree, get to the highest branch I can reach. He'll never find me there. But as you climb the branches and get up there and get to the top, I'm already there too. 19, 20, found you. Well, that's not much of a game, is it? And I imagine that that's how the game went. You might not want to play hide and seek with me again at that point. Well, David says in verse 7 of Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then after asking those questions, you know, where could I go to get away? He begins in the next few verses to think about some directions he might try to go to get away from God. What if I were to go up into the sky? You know, all the way up.
up to the clouds. I don't know how you get there in Bible times, but let's say you find and you train a large, now extinct bird. I don't know, but you go through a whole lot of fish and a whole lot of effort to train this bird to get you up into the clouds because you're trying to get away from God. But after all that effort, as you go up and you reach, you know, this high place, you find out God's already there. He asks, how do you like the clouds that I made? You know, doesn't that one look like a giraffe? You're like, oh, God, I'm trying to get away from you. So, okay, I'll go the other direction. I'll go down. And so you go back down to the ground and you get a shovel and you start digging. And you just spend years digging as far as you can go. You get to the absolute lowest point that you can reach, thinking, ah, now I must have gotten away from God. But even as you go all the way down there, God is already there. He looks over and smiles. Says, well, you must really like digging. Like, no, I was trying to get away from you, God. It's so fine. You decide, as verse 9 says, I'll rise on the wings of the dawn, as in I'll travel to the far east, trying to get away. I'm gonna go to Japan. And so you get back out of that hole you dug, and you travel as far east as you can possibly get to. You make it all the way to the Japanese border, and as soon as you cross, God's already there. He says, konnichiwa. You're like, no, I'm trying to get away from you, God. And so you turn around, and as it says, I'll settle on the far side of the sea. I think David means the Mediterranean here, but this is God we're talking about. So you know what? Extreme measures are required. So you decide, I'm going to cross the Atlantic. I'm going to get all the way as far west as I could go. Somehow you survive the journey. You travel as far west as you can make it, and you come to the mysterious land of Texas. And as you get into there, God's already there. He says, howdy. You know, you must be tired after all that. Do you want some iced tea? Like, oh, no, I cannot get away. I can't get away. No matter where I go, he's there. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? All those who fear and hate God will never have victory, because God cannot be beaten. God cannot be escaped. And so you can't win. In fact, some people think, well, I'll get away this way. I will sink into the absolute depths of sin. I'll get to the darkest place I can find in this earth. And as I'm surrounded by darkness, I'll escape God that way. But you know what? David says that's not going to work either. Verses 11 and 12 says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Even in my darkest moments, God has the power to say, let there be light. And then all that I am is visible to God. So fight doesn't work. Flight doesn't work. So I would like to this morning introduce a third option when it comes to God's presence, the presence that is all around you. I encourage you, just embrace it. Just embrace it. You know, I don't know about you, but I like having my wife around. And that's even though she has seen me in my worst moments. And I'm sure there are plenty of moments to pick from. We're trying to figure out which one of these bad moments are the worst. But even though she has seen me in all these, you know, terrible times, she loves me with a love that I don't deserve. And I love being around her. I can't pretend, though, some sort of, you know, false preacher holiness with her. I mean, she knows better. But she still gives me that love. Now, how much more, then, the love of God? When it came to grasping God, God's love, a love that was on all sides. David says in verse 6, after he says, look, it hedges me in. It's you know, behind me. It's before me. His hand is on me. But when it came to grasping that love, this inescapable love, David said in verse 6, that such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. David likes God's presence. Do you see that there in verse 6? He likes, in fact, he willingly invites God into every part of his life. He says, God, come on in. This is how the psalm ends. If you go back to the end, verses 23 and 24, it ends this way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's the invitation I bring to everybody this morning. Will you make this choice? Look carefully at the choice he's making here. There is no fighting God, and there is no escaping God. But if you love God, you don't want to do either of those two things anyway. So it works out really well for you, for those who love the Lord. And we should love God, because God first loved us. But instead of trying to hide, you know, who we are, instead of trying to fight God and make him go away, or pretending like God doesn't know everything that we do, we ought to do what David did here. I suggest asking God to reveal what he knows. See, that's what he's doing here. I suggest praying to God, Lord, what is pleasing to you about my life? And what is it? God, see if there's any offensive way in me. See if there's anything in my life that's going to keep me from you. And God, I pray that you reveal those things to me. Show me what I need to change, because I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to guide me on that path that's going to let me be with you forever. Pray that prayer. That's a great prayer to pray, I would say. Because, you know, I suppose it's true that in the end, there is a way to escape God. I've been told that the worst part of hell is that God is not there. So I suppose in the end, some will get what they thought that they wanted. You know, I wanted a life without God. That's what some people would say. But I think they'll find out in the end that what they wanted was not what they want. And surely, as we all sit here this morning, that is the opposite of what we want. Yet we should be saying, God, I want you in my life today. I want you in my life right now. And praise God that he is. He hems us in behind and before, and he lays his hand on us. God is with us today, and I want to be with God forever. I want led in the way everlasting. Is that your desire too? I would encourage you to come to the little bunny's conclusion. You know, the little bunny concluded in the end, after thinking about all these ways he's going to try and get away, he finally comes to the conclusion, it's not going to work, so I may as well stay where I am and be your little bunny, he said. And mom said, well, that's a good choice. Have a carrot. God, I cannot fight you, and I cannot get away, so I may as well stay where I am and be your child. And I think God would say to that, that's a good choice. Have everlasting life. Which is a whole lot better than a carrot, I would argue. And if that's the decision that you need to make this morning, if you this morning need to decide to become a child of God, if you are ready to obey the gospel, to repent, and to be baptized, you can become that child. That's the love that God has lavished on you, that you could become a child of God. And you do that by putting on his son, Jesus Christ. And if this morning you need to make the decision to quit fighting and quit trying to run away, then we invite you to make your need known by by coming forward as we sing the invitation song.